Hello, everyone. Today we're going to be learning a sicha from Likutei Sichais, Chelek Yud Gimel, Parshas Nasai, Sicha Aleph. In Ice Aleph, the Rebbe explains that this week's parsha begins with the mitzvah to conduct a census of the sons of Levi, the Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari, while the conclusion of last week's parsha was the census of the Bnei Kahas. The sons of Gershon, Kahas, and Merari, who were between the ages of 30 and 50, were given the responsibility and privilege to carry the Mishkan and its Kelim during the journey of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. The census described in these parshiyos was conducted in order to determine how many of them were eligible to do this. This counting was a one-time commandment that took place during the second year after they left Mitzrayim. But since we know that Torah is eternal, even a one-time commandment is always applicable on a ruchniistic level. What message does this census have for us today? Ice Bays. The setting that Bnei Yisrael find themselves in is in the Midbar, the desert. This will be their venue for the next 40 years. Since the Meraglim spent 40 days in Eretz Yisrael and complained about the land and rejected it, their punishment, Mida Keneged Mida, was that the Yidden would need to spend 40 years in the desert, each year corresponding to a day. Being barred from entering Eretz Yisrael is certainly a logical consequence. But why the need for them to travel around the desert for 40 years? Why couldn't they be allowed to settle in one city outside of Eretz Yisrael? In Likutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe explains that the reason they had to travel through the desert with the Mishkan and its Kelim, its vessels, was twofold. Number one, in order to subdue negative forces which derive sustenance from the desert. And number two, by subduing these negative forces, they would then create an environment that was conducive to drawing down more spiritual light. Practically speaking, how did this work? The Medrash explains that when the Yidden traveled through the desert, the Anane HaKavod that protected them would kill the snakes and scorpions that threatened them and transform the desert into a place of habitation. What makes a desert a desert? Firstly, a desert is devoid of human life. And secondly, a desert is a place of barrenness. It is completely bereft of growth and vegetation. When the Jewish people traveled through the desert, they transformed it in both of these areas. Number one, the once vast and empty desert was now teeming with human life, with over a million men, women, and children. Number two, the well of Miriam, which accompanied the Jewish people through the Midbar and provided them with fresh water, also transformed the Midbar into a place of vegetation, with beautiful trees and lush greenery. Now we can understand the significance of the census of the sons of Levi from 30 to 50, the demographic of those who would carry the Mishkan and its Kelim. When we count something, we demonstrate its importance. The counting of this particular group imbued them with the special strength not to be negatively impacted by the dangers of the desert, and to be able to positively transform it into a place of habitation. Ice Gimel. This message holds true for every single individual on both a global level as well as a personal level. Every person can choose to be like the sons of Levi and become a bearer of light and carry the Mishkan in a spiritual sense. Sometimes a person may look around herself and feel as if she is in a midbar, a desert devoid of spiritual life. Perhaps a person is living on shlichus in some remote location, or maybe even in a Jewish community where people are completely not in tune with their spiritual identity. And even those who are in touch with their spiritual essence are prone to making mistakes and are not behaving entirely the way they should be. A person who finds himself or herself in such an unwholesome environment may feel like giving up. This parsha is teaching us that if Bahashgacha Pratis you find yourself in a particular location, even if it's a spiritual wasteland, It is your responsibility to transform that place into a Dira B'Tachtonim, a place where Hashem feels comfortable. Ayis Dalid. On a personal level, sometimes a person may look at his or her own behavior and feel like she is in a midbar. As they say in today's slang, I'm just a hot mess. I don't have it together. I'm not being productive. I haven't been accomplishing anything. I'm barely hanging in there. And this may have been going on for weeks, months, or even years. It's basically just who I am or who I've become. The interesting thing is that for the sons of Levi, life really started at 30, when they were imbued with the spiritual capacity to carry the Mishkan and its Kelim and thereby transform the Midbar. This can be true for each and every one of us, no matter what stage of life we're at. At a birthday celebration of one of my children, my father was extolling the virtues of being 11, since that's how old my son was turning. And my son responded back and said, but Zadie, last year you said that 10 was the best age. And at your 60th birthday celebration, you said life starts at 60. The truth is, life can start at 11, 30, 60, 90, or any age I want. As long as a person makes the decision that we want to transform our personal midbar, our personal wasteland into something beautiful, we have the power to do so. Ice Hay. The process of transformation includes both Sur Meira, turning away from bad, and Asay Taif, pursuing the good. Imagine that you purchased an old fixer-upper and would like to transform it into a home that is beautiful, serene, and uplifting. You first need to get rid of all that junk and declutter. And then you can create a space that is conducive for beautiful furniture. Similarly, in our Avodas Hashem, we need to have both of these dimensions. This is also alluded to in the names and the job descriptions of the sons of Aharon, Gershon and Kahas in particular. Gershon comes from the word Gerushin, which means to remove, thereby representing the inner work of Sur Meira, turning away from bad. Kahas is related to the word Yikhas, which means to gather, thus representing the Avaida of Asay Taiv, pursuing the good. Just as Gershon was born before Kahas, the structure in serving Hashem should first be Gershon, Sur Meira, and then Kahas, Asay Taiv. Even though in action, the Avaida of Sur Meira should precede the Avaida of Asay Taiv, in Ha'ara 34, the Rebbe explains that the count of Kahas took place prior to the count of Gershon, to demonstrate the primacy and importance of the Avaida of Asay Taiv that Kahas represents. Sur Meira is important as a means and preparation to get to the ultimate goal of Asay Taiv. We don't want to simply be stuck at the stage of getting rid of the garbage and junk. That's phase one that is necessary to create a clear space to bring in the stunning furniture. Ayis Vav. Interestingly, Gershon carried the yerias, the coverings of the Mishkan, which serve to surround and protect the Mishkan in an overarching way. This is compared to the Avaida of Sur Meira, which serves to protect us from negative influences. On the other hand, Kahas carried the individual vessels of the Mishkan, which each served a specific purpose. This represents the service of Asay Taiv, performing the specific mitzvahs that each impact us and the entire world in unique ways. We currently find ourselves in the days immediately following Shavuos. It is the perfect time to put into action the goal of carrying the Mishkan and all of its parts in the midbar of our lives.